Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability.
Several weeks ago, Tegan asked if she could have the chance to share her testimony before she left Stillwater and started her new job in Tulsa. Tegan is a godsend. And during her time in Stillwater, she has found her way into many hearts. We are so proud of her and of her accomplishments. And I can't imagine a better Sunday to celebrate Tegan along with our other graduates than on Pentecost Sunday. As we gather today in person and online, may the Spirit give Tegan the ability to share her story, and may the same Spirit enable you to hear with understanding. May we be inspired as Tegan shares. I know that she is really nervous. I can see her shaking all the way from over here. So if you would, let's start her off with a really large dose of love.
Forgive me if I cried this whole time. And I invite you, if you would like to hear more of my story, I am more than happy to share it. There's a lot that I cannot share here, but I am more than happy to tell it. I'm going to start by telling you that God is such a big God. He is such a big God. And I've been angry at him for so many years. And it's okay to be angry. And I learned that. I learned it's okay to yell at God, and it's okay to be angry at God. And I've been hurt. This journey has been so painful. I've been disowned as a daughter. I was kicked out at a young age. I was on the street by somewhere around 13, 15. My first husband was extremely abusive. It wasn't by choice to marry him. I've been sold. I've been raped. I've been locked up in dog cages. I've been beaten, and I've been drugged. It took me 3 years to escape, and it took the help of several agencies, and it was nothing short of a miracle by God that I survived. I was on the street for several years, trying desperately to get back to my family and try to find somebody to love me. Somebody help me. Somebody please just love me. Give me a family. Being rejected time and time again from my biological family. Disowned. I'm not worthy. I'm worthless. I'm trash. You're damaged. Get away from us. Things you shouldn't hear. Power of the tongue is so very powerful. My second husband gave me the choice of marry him or get back out on the street. Well, you know what? It's cold in the wintertime. So I married him. It was rough. His family and he always said, well, at least he doesn't beat you. But you don't have to be beat to be broken. God, Lord, give me strength. 4 years in, I was desperate, and I went from church to church to church. Somebody help me, please. I need help. I need help. Church after church. Well, we can help you with your electric. We can help you with your food, but we can't help you. I found First Christian Church in Claremore. And I was so angry when I walked in there. And I yelled at the receptionist. Says, all you do, you're fake. You're fake Christians. You're just fake. All you do is help with food and help with electric. Nobody's helping me. I need help. I want help. I want God. I want help. Where's God? How do you find him? I want to find him. How do you find him? Charles Ranglin walked in, and all he did was talk to me. And we just sat and talked and talked, and he let me yell at him, and he let me yell at God. And he told me it was okay. It's okay to be angry, and it's okay to be hurt, and it's okay to be broken. First Christian Church gave me my first person that would hold me and tell me it's okay. And he let me talk and talk, and he's like, well, come back. Said, okay, fine, I'll come back. And I came back the next day, and it was more of the same. It was about 2 or 3 days of just yelling and being so angry. And then he finally was like, come to church. And I went to church. And then I went back to church. And then I went back to church. And then I noticed I was safe. I was safe at First Christian Church. I wasn't going to be hurt. I didn't have to escape anybody. I didn't have to run. I didn't have to worry about being attacked by dogs, having a gun held to my head, getting stabbed, being sold, or anything. I was safe. So I started reading the Bible, and he introduced me to a couple of different passages that I loved so very much. And my husband at the time, my second husband, you're joining a cult. Shame on you for going to church. You think you're better than us. Just beat down and beat down with words. I finally hit my knees in the living room and I told God, if you're real, if you are really real, you have got to stop this. Like, I can't do this. I won't go through it a second time. I won't put my daughter through it, and I can't. If you're real, you better show up or I will end my life now. I am tired of it. At that point, I got a phone call, and it was my uncle saying that he has a church camp and wants to know if Kira would like to go. I said, you know what? Yeah, because this is perfect timing. Kira needs out of here because I have things I'm dealing with, and I don't know what to do. I will be there. 8 a.m. in the morning. Okay, not a problem. Where is it? It's in Wilburton. Okay, where's Wilburton? It was 4 hours south. That was a very long drive. And I was very lost. I get down there, send her off with the church. And I was like, okay. They're like, by the way, there's a college down here. It's like, okay, whatever. I'll go talk to them. Sure. I go up to the college. I was like, well, I heard there was a college up here. What are the classes and what does it take to get in? And, you know, I'm not going to make it. I have no money. I have nothing. I have absolutely nothing. I didn't graduate high school. Never graduated high school. And there's like, we have this class, this class, this class. It's like, that one sounds fun. What do I need to do to get into that? And she typed her on the computer. She said, you're in. I was like, what do you mean I'm in? She's like, you're in. I was like, okay, well, that's nice, but I have nowhere to live. She's like, I was like, oh, you have housing. I was like, wait, I have housing. She's like, yeah. I was like, well, crap. I think I just signed up to go to college, and I think I just moved. Well, I guess I need a job. Somebody walked behind me and said, oh, they're hiring down there. Okay, I'll go down there. I heard you were hiring. Yeah, will you be here Monday? Yes. She's like, okay, good. I'll see you Monday. She's like, it's Friday. I have 3 days to move 4 hours south. And I left, and I went back home to Claremore, and I was like, I'm leaving you because I need to go find myself. Oh, okay, well, you know, I'm kind of, well, why are you leaving and what's going on? I was like, well, I joined a college down south, and I'm joined the collegiate officers program. And he just kind of looked at me. I was like, I'm going to become a police officer. Bye. He starts chunking as much of my stuff out the door as possible, and I was moved in 2 days. I picked up my daughter a week later, and she was crying in the car. And she's like, Mom, I don't want to go home. Do we really have to leave? That place is horrible. I don't want to go home. I was like, you know, I really don't want to go home either, Kira. I was like, I'm not happy there. I'm not happy. I don't want to go home. And you know, I'm telling her, well, we have to. And I drove around the corner and parked the car, and I was like, surprised, we moved. The look of shock on her face was so funny. She's like, I don't understand what's happening. She's like, your room's over there. We moved. Finished the program down there and became an officer at the college. And was rejected multiple times by family members as still, you know, that's not my niece, that's his niece. That's not my family, that's his family. And shunned because I was divorced. Well, you're divorced, so you're not allowed to do certain things at our church. I was like, okay. So I left that church and went to another one, Sunshine Fellowship. Sunshine was such a blessing down there. They helped me survive while I was down there. I wasn't allowed to do training in that same city because I was a woman, and they didn't allow women to train with some of their people. They got in trouble. I wound up having to go to another, the next county over to do any of my training. So Satan tried, but he cannot stop me. I learned that God accepts the broken people. I learned they actually explained to me how to start the process of forgiveness. When you pray for the person over and over, no matter how much you don't want to and how much anger I have toward my family, I started praying good things over them. Help my mother heal. Please help her stop drinking. Please help my brother with his anger. Please help my dad. Please let them learn to love me and let them learn to accept me. They helped me learn how to lay my troubles down at the cross, which was something that was never taught. I wound up hearing of them filling a bus of people to go visit OSU. So I went with them to visit OSU, and I came back enrolled at OSU. And once again, I was very surprised at what God was doing in my life. I was like, I don't know how you explain this, because I didn't graduate. I managed to start at the very bottom in Wilburton, getting a GED, getting an associate in a COPS program, getting an associate in a wildlife program, and now a bachelor's at OSU with a few honors. My first year at Stillwater. My first year in Stillwater was almost as bad as my first husband. The camper that I lived in was a shell. I had 2 buckets, a water hose, and 3 extension cords, and I lived like that for a year. I sent my daughter to Tulsa to live with my parents because I can't put a kid through that. That's just not okay. When it was okay and fun for the first 2 weeks, we're learning to live off the grid, and then she says, Mom, which bucket is the shower bucket, and which one do we wash dishes in? And I was like, oh, that's not okay. Off she goes. I called Charles, desperate. I was like, I'm going to die out here. You've got to help me. I'm going to die. I don't know what to do. I can't do this. Why did I go to college? What in the world was I thinking? What is God thinking? And he sent me to Sandra. And all I did was have to walk in here, and she instantly knew who I was. She's like, you're Tegan. I was like, yes, who are you? This church saved me. This congregation is the hands and feet of Jesus, and y'all have saved me more than what I can tell you. It's not just the church, but it's the members. Each one of you have done something, from giving me food, which I was so scared to death that I was going to starve. I lost a lot of weight because I was hungry, and I didn't know how to ask for help. You gave me monthly meals and food cards. You gave me cards to Walmart. You gave me cards to Burger King, McDonald's. You helped me with my car. You helped me get tires for my car. You helped me have an oil change in my car and made sure I was able to get to school. You gave me school supplies. I was given shoes because mine were too holy for church. Sorry, that was funny. I had holy clothes and I was given clothes. I needed blankets. And I was given this one really ugly Christmas blanket, and it is my favorite blanket of all. I love it. It is so warm. I was given towels. Somebody gave me a skillet so that I can cook, because I was afraid of burning down my camper. I was given the most important thing, a chance to work. Somebody gave me a chance to work for them. And it set everything in motion and was able to let me provide for myself. This church has accepted me with open arms and with no judgment. You've let me heal. And I've heard so many good things from you. Somebody told me, I heard of you. You're important. I'm important. I'm not important. You got the wrong person. He's like, no, you're important. I was like, no, lady, I'm not important. And I started thinking, God must know me. God must know he has good plans for me. I've been pronounced dead twice. And I've had countless attempts made on my life. I am well past the 9 lives. I've been rejected by too many people to count. My family, and now even my daughter is struggling to accept me as a mother. Because of the work this church has done, I know I am loved by God. And I'm not just loved by God, I know I'm known by Him. This church is my family. I've prayed for years to have a family to love me and hold me, and God has given me a family, and it's this church and the people in Stillwater. I'm not a slave anymore, and Satan can't hold me back. He promises good things to me, and he will give good things to you. And because of this church, I know I have a family with the brothers and sisters of Jesus. Thank you.
Galatians 4, 1 through 7. My point is this. Heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all the property, but they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of our Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God.
I don't know that I can even find the words to help you comprehend that we didn't choose these scriptures for this service. It didn't work that way. These scriptures chose us and this service. And so I want that to resonate in your minds as you realize that the Spirit of God is at work in this place, in and through each and every one of you. I am so grateful for Tegan and for her willingness to share her story. And we have other stories to share with you as well. I want to just highlight that scripture for a minute. My point is this. As long as they remain, or as long as they are minors, they're under guardians until the date set by the Father. And the same is true of us. We were bound by the law until the fullness of time came and God sent Jesus to redeem us and to adopt us as his children. We are no longer slaves. We are heirs, children of the King. This is one of my favorite services. It has been a tradition of mine from the beginning to pick a passage of Scripture and to present that to each graduate. These and this, they're more than words. It's more than a gift of Scripture. It is the opportunity to share where I have seen God at work in the life of these young adults with you. It is an honor for me because they have each and every one been gifts in my life. I know that it's a blessing to them because God's word never returns void and always accomplishes the purpose for which it is intended. And I pray that it will be an encouragement to each of you as well in whatever way the Spirit deems good and right. We're going to begin with Darren Gaddis, who started off our service. Darren, will you come up, please? I have chosen for Darren a passage of Scripture that I need to provide an explanation for and about, because it would have been natural to pick something that had to do with football or with athletics and would have highlighted the things that I know that he learned from his time as an athlete. All of those things that have equipped and enabled him to step out into life. But that's not what I think of when I think of Darren. When I think of Darren, this is the baby, by the way. This is the baby of the three. When he came in today, I was like, what happened to that baby? I think of community. And I think of the community that God has surrounded Darren with. I've seen it from the time that he was born. Darren, you have experienced an outpouring of the most valuable gift that life can offer. I chose for you a passage from 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13, and it says this: love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part will disappear. When I was a child, I talked as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the childhood ways behind me. For now, we see only as a reflection in the mirror, but we will see face to face. For now I know in part, but then I will know fully, even as I am known. Darren, you have had grandparents, siblings, friends, parents, coaches, church tell you that you are loved, and I have no idea that that love will accomplish its purpose in and through you. It has been a blessing, sir, to be a part of connecting you with the God from whom that love originated. You will do incredible things. I love you. You can give him applause. He deserves it. Next on our list is sweet Abby Matthews. Abby, you want to come up? Abby and I have had lots of talks since the time she was very little. She has had questions, hard questions, and she was never afraid to ask those hard questions. Abby has grown into such a beautiful young woman, and yet she is even more beautiful inside. Her heart is as big and as beautiful as they come. She is full of compassion, sympathy, empathy, and love. I chose for Abby a scripture from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but also we glory in our own sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Abby, may you continue to persevere always. May you never give up hope, and may you know always that the Holy Spirit will continue to pour into your heart that love that you are so good about sharing with the world. I love you, sweet girl. Man, now you see why I love this, right? It doesn't get any better than this. I'm going to call back up Tegan. You've heard her story, and you may have seen the Bible that she carries around that was a gift from First Christian Church Claremore. I know that she has treasured it, and I know that it has ministered to her in lots of ways, but I'm gifting her with a new Bible, and I also picked for you a scripture that I think highlights your story very well. It's from Romans 8:31, and it says it is beautiful, just like you. So what do you think? With God on our side, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare to even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment and is sticking up for us. So do you think that anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this phases us, because Jesus loves us, and I am absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love, because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us.
Perfect.
Love you, sweet girl. All right, next on our list is Julie Horton. I'm telling you, God has just sent us this incredible group of people in so many incredible ways. I first became connected with Julie at Mission Camp when she brought a group of students from the church where she was serving as youth leader, and then God brought her here as a student to Stillwater. She didn't connect with us right away. It was later on that she connected with us, and she connected through a phone call that was very strange. Would your church accept me and my family? And I told her, well, our mission statement says that we welcome all, and so I would answer that question with yes. I have to tell you that in the short amount of time that this family has been here, they have been a gift in a multitude of ways. God allowed us to baptize Sweet Hannah and CJ. We've got to work with TW and Jam. They are precious. I chose for her a scripture that I'm going to have to explain. I chose for her a scripture. Let me look at what book that's from, because I didn't write it down. From James. From James. And it's verses 17 and 18. It says, real wisdom
God wisdom begins with the holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It's gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other and treating each other with dignity and honor. This family is going to be leaving us soon. They're going to Holdenville, is that right? Because Julie accepted a position as the ag teacher there. I remember when she was here as a youth leader, and I think I wrote her a note afterwards saying, I just recognize in you this gift to work with young people, that God is directing her and her partner to continue to work in the school system and guide and direct young people is such a wonderful example to me that God places people with the gifts that he needs to do the jobs that he calls them to do. These are people who will be building the communities of the future. That requires a lot of wisdom, but I know that what God's called you to do, God will enable you to do. And my friend, it's been a joy to be a part of this part of your life. All right, we have one more, and you've seen her here before. I'm going to call up Jenna. Jenna was here for her high school graduation, and so she received a Bible at that time and a verse, but at this very important juncture in her life where she is graduating with her master's, I thought that it was worthy of another recognition. I hope that you noticed the variety of people up on the screen. Not all of them could be here today, but all of them are worthy of celebration, and all of them are a gift. I chose for Jenna a gift from a scripture from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. I warned her beforehand I was going to give her a test, and she was like, no, you're not. And I said, yes, you are. Jenna, will you, in the mic, tell people the fruits of the Spirit?
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
So when I told her I was going to give her a test, she said, it's not about the Bible, is it? Cassandra, I'm not going to get it. And I said, Jenna, I know you're going to know this, and I have confidence. And she said, you have way too much confidence in me. I remember at one time when Jenna was trying to choose a church in Tulsa, and she said to me, you know, I just don't feel like I know all of those Bible stories and all of the lessons behind it. And I said, Jenna, it's all in there. I know it's all been poured in, and it will all come out when you need it. I'm going to hand that to you. As I was putting together this service, this part of the service for this today, there was in parentheses, I'm going to get emotional because this is just a God thing. It was in parentheses a portion of scripture that you could use in conjunction with. I highlighted it in every one of your Bibles because I think it's a second passage that's a God gift given to each and every one of you. It's from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. And I don't think this is just for the graduates or just for Jenna. I think this is for all of you. It says this, and this is in a different version. This is in the Message version. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our life, much the same as the way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things and a sense of compassion of the heart and a conviction that the basic holiness permeates all things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with our own way and mindfully responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we don't hold it just as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but we work out its implications in every detail of our lives. This means that we will not compare ourselves to each other as if one were better or another were worse, but we have more interesting things to do with our lives because each one is an original. Young lady, I am so thrilled to have watched you grow up in and amongst this church and the work that God has done in and through you and where it will lead you in life. And I am so grateful to have been a part of it. Thank you.
love you. Always.
There are two young people who were not recognized in our slideshow because I didn't get their pictures in time, but I did want to recognize them in this part of this service. Some of you may not recognize them. They are Grace Davis and Cade Estes. They live in Piedmont and they actively attend Life Church there. However, they consider FCC Stillwater their other church. They are celebrating their graduation with family today in Hawaii, but they were going to watch this service online. Grace was baptized with our group when we were on a trip to Jamaica. Grace lives into every aspect of her name. She moves gracefully and with poise. Maybe you've seen the picture of her where she is leaping in the sky on the beach. She exudes beauty and grace. The scripture that I chose from her is from Titus chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. I am so grateful to have been a part of the experience where that symbol of salvation was one that our church got to witness. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. I am so excited to see the things that this young lady does and to be a part of her faith journey. I remember Cade because I remember when Pastor Watson spoke a word. Some people call it a word of prophecy. Some call it a word of encouragement. I don't care what you name it. He laid hands and spoke a word over Cade. And I remember seeing the reaction of his mother as Pastor Watson spoke that word. He talked about how Cade was such a quiet observer, and yet he soaked in every piece and part of the experience. And those thoughts were thoughts that rumbled around in his head that he wrestled through and discerned and made decisions and determinations that he believed were going to lead him into a deep relationship with God. The scripture that I chose for Cade is from Proverbs 18, verses 15 and 16. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. A gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. This was a tradition that I practiced with Cade and Grace's mothers as they graduated from high school at my home church in Tonkawa. Who knew? Who knew? I couldn't help but be impressed, as I said before, by the variety of connections that God has enabled us as a congregation to experience, the people that he has placed on our path, and the opportunities to share his amazing love in such a number of ways. Can you imagine? Can you imagine where God will take it from here? Who knows? And I am grateful to be a part, and I pray that this congregation will continue to work in unity to accomplish God's purpose for us. May we continue to grow a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. Amen.